From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. Forget the kid, I'm Billy the Man, Bill Curtis. And here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, everybody. Great to see you. We have got a great show for you today. We cannot solve all the world's problems, but we will be talking to country star Dwight Yoakam later on, so maybe he can just sing about them. But this week, we saw that President Obama had done an interview with an obscure website called Mike, like microphone. And this led one commentator to say that interviews with the president are so common as to, quote, not be cool anymore. Oh. In other words, our time has come. President Obama, we understand you're not cool, but you're not nearly as not cool as us. Come, Mr. President. Sit in our guest seat, hollowed out by Kim Kardashian's butt. While we wait for him, you can give us a call. The number is 1-888-924-8924. That translates to 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. Let's welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, I'm Perry.
Hey, Perry, how are you?
I'm doing great, now that I'm talking to you.
Oh, well, that's nice of you to say. Now, where are you calling from, Perry?
I'm calling from my front porch in Washington, D.C.
Oh.
Wow.
That's nice. Hey, do you happen to know the president? Do you know if he's busy saying, well, next week?
No, he's not busy. He'll be doing an interview in my basement.
Oh. Now I feel even worse. Perry, welcome to the show. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First up, it's an author and humorist whose latest book is Alpha Better Juice. It's Roy Blunt Jr. And a comedian performing in San Diego on September 11th at Humphrey's Concert by the Bay. It's Paula Poundstone.
Hey, Perry.
I love Paula Poundstone.
Well, thank you, Perry.
A lot of people confuse.
he just made yummy noises in his bar.
Thank you, Perry. Thank you very much.
And lastly, it's the man behind Esquire's politics blog. It's Charlie Pierce. So, Perry,
feel free to make indigestion noises, Perry. That'll be fine.
So, Perry, I bet you can anticipate this, but you're going to start us off with whose bill this time, Bill Curtis. Right now.
Just guess right now, Perry.
Just
don't,
go.
Don't even listen to the question.
Right off the rip. Donald Trump.
Well, you're saving us some time. But the FCC dictates we go through the motions, so you're going to play whose bill this time. Bill Curtis is going to read you three quotations from the week's news. Your job, correctly identify or explain two of them. Do that, you win our prize. Scorekeeper Carl Castle's voice on your voicemail. Here's your first quote.
I cherish women. I want to help women.
That was someone promising to do things for women when he is elected president. Who is it?
Donald Trump.
Yes, yeah. I know.
Huge.
It was a bad week for Donald Trump and women, or to put it another way, Donald Trump is bad for women. It began when Trump did not like the questions that Megyn Kelly asked him at last week's debate. Usually, when Trump is unhappy with the way a woman is treating him, he just starts sleeping with a younger one. But this time, there weren't any handy. He did spare a glance at Marco Rubio, though, but then he thought better of it. Some say that it is in part because of Trump's brouhaha with Megyn Kelly that Carly Fiorina is rising in the polls. She's a woman who can talk back to Trump. Or maybe she's running to be his VP, because he did say, this is true, that he would like to appoint a woman. She would be the first VP candidate in history to both endure a thorough vetting and also have to sign a prenup.
I don't see the two of them gelling, really.
Really?
No.
Who do you see gelling with Donald Trump?
Brill cream.
I'll tell you one thing that I think makes him a strong candidate is that he's not tethered to reality in any way. So he can say stuff like, I know what to do with ISIS.
Well, he did. I can assure you
I will defeat ISIS, but I'm not going to tell you how.
That's the key. His entire platform is very simple. I'm Donald Trump. Right. You're a loser. Leave it to me.
Right.
That's it.
But he made a kind of a point when he asked, who would you rather have negotiating with ISIS, me or Jeb Bush? I thought, well, I don't know about that.
ISIS does kind of deserve him.
Yeah, yeah. Go off, go out. Go
Send
out.
Him in.
All right, Perry. Your next quote is from a, quote, political insider.
This is people talking to people, some of whom may or may not have talked to him.
Him was a man who may make another run for president, or so the rumor mills told us toward the end of the week. Who is it?
Joe Biden?
No. Well, no. Joe Biden was last week's rumor.
Oh.
This is this week's rumor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'll give you a hint. It's another vice president.
No. You're not going to tell me Dick Cheney.
No!
No!
Man. This
is a Democratic vice president.
I am baffled, some people Perry.
Say. Now I'm out here and the fire truck just pulled up.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
For some reason, I think Al Gore.
Al Gore, that's it. Exactly right.
Really?
This is what's
that.
Going on. As you all know, Hillary Clinton was supposed to be a lock for the nomination, but right now in New Hampshire, she is getting beaten by Bernie Sanders, a guy with the politics of Lenin and the charisma of Ralph Nader. So Hillary is crashing and burning. Who will save the Democrats? Last week it was Biden. This week, Al Gore. He's rested. He's ready. He's matured. He's like a finely aged piece of wood.
He'll get to kiss Tipper again. Maybe this is what she takes. Whatever happened to Tipper?
They divorced.
They divorced
years ago.
But you know, he still got it for her.
You think? on what do you base that?
If you saw that kiss, that
I did see that kiss.
It lasted about 9.5 minutes, I believe.
That was the most erotic thing ever to happen in American politics.
What are you talking about? You know, this is like the time you guys brought up the Kama Sutra, and I didn't know what that was either.
Well, do you not remember in 2000 at the political convention, and he gave her this deep soul kiss that looked like they were sharing souls. Mm-hmm. It was amazing.
Wow. No, I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, and then she was immediately hospitalized with Dutch Elm disease.
Very good. Perry, here is your last quote.
Can you tell me how to get to Sesame Street?
Sesame Street is moving after decades on PBS over to what channel?
HBO.
HBO is right. Yes. Very good.
Oh, my God.
Big Bird. Bert, Ernie, and the gang are moving to the network, best known for The Sopranos, The Wire, and Game of Thrones. It makes sense. Most of the Muppets are already nude. Sesame Street's producers said they were running out of money. Viewership of PBS is declining, and they can't compete against more exciting kids' TV fare like My Little Pony and Breaking Bad. Well, what will happen to Sesame Street and HBO? They say it will be exactly the same, but that's what they said about The Wire, which was originally a lighthearted sitcom about an electrician.
I think we just don't want to see children's television to become as obscene as children.
That's true. And HBO, if you're looking to pick up more shows from public broadcasting, keep in mind Bill is already very comfortable with full nudity, right?
I am.
Oh, yes.
Anytime.
Bill, how did Perry do in our quiz?
Well, he was helped by the fireman on that fire truck that pulled up, but he got 3-0.
Well done. Right. Congratulations.
There you go, Perry.
Thank you so much for playing, Perry.
Hey, thanks a lot, Peter. Take care.
We want to remind everybody they can join us most weeks right here at the Chase Bank Auditorium. For tickets and more information, go to WBEZ.org, or you can find a link at our website, waitwait.npr.org. Right now, panel, it is time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Roy, in a new frontier of automotive luxury, Ford has designed a new seat that has individual settings, for each of your what?
I'm trying to remember, Peter. Back when I needed such a thing. individual, each of my vertebrae?
No, you only have two of these.
Butt bones?
Yes,
cheeks.
Your butt cheeks.
Butt
wow.
cheeks.
Yeah. Have you ever said to yourself, my left cheek needs firmness. My right cheek likes it soft. Mm-hmm. Well, if so...
I don't even know.
If so, you're insane. But you're also in luck. In the latest half-assed idea from her. Thank you. Thank you.
Had to be said.
That's our show for this week. Now, the latest half-assed idea from Ford, they've developed a new seat that allows you to adjust the firmness, the surface, under your right and left butt cheeks independently. Hmm. It is a sad statement about the divided country we live in that you can't even get the left and right of your own ass to agree.
You know what, though, Peter? If you're really fast with the switch, you can have some fun.
That's true.
This is going to lead to the worst type of distracted driving, I think. You know, I'm such a distracted driver. I mean, I'm not even talking about talking on the phone. I don't use a handheld phone. I'm not even talking about that. Like, if I just have a thought sometimes, I can't remember what the hell I'm doing in the car. So the idea that I would be thinking to myself, is my right cheek comfortable enough? That's dangerous.
You could sort of, it'd be sort of like ambling on an old horse. Boom.
Coming up, make do with what you got. It's the Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR. Support for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me podcast comes from AT&T. With AT&T, the network is on demand, the office is mobile, and the cloud is designed for high security. You can learn more at att.com/focus.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We're playing this week with Paula Poundstone, Charlie Pierce, and Roy Blunt Jr. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Right now it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, I'm Scarlett DeBees from Westchester, New York.
Scarlett DeBees?
Scarlett, yes.
Oh, my gosh. That is a fantastically romantic name.
Thank you.
Do you break men's hearts while jet-setting around the world?
No, I don't do that. What I actually do is I go into women's closets in person or virtually, and I give them real-overs instead of makeovers.
What is a real-over, though?
A real-over is that a woman can actually be comfortable in her clothes, she can walk in her clothes, she can see herself, and she can like how she looks and feel like she's herself and not trying to look like Beyonce.
Well, that's ridiculous.
All right, wait a minute. What if your client were Beyonce?
I would just say I can't work with you.
Scarlett, great to have you with us. You're going to play the game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Bill, what is Scarlett's topic?
Brother, can you spare a dime?
In these tough times, you don't always have the things you need, but you can find a way if you're creative and you really, really lower your standards. This week, we had a story of someone figuring out a way to get by on limited resources. Our panelists are going to tell you all about it. Guess that true story. You'll win Carl Castle's voice in your voicemail. Are you ready to play?
I think so.
Do you think so or do you know so?
Well, I'll know after I hear the three stories.
Good point. All right, first let's hear from Roy Blunt Jr.
Cliff Asbury, mayor of the big little town of Thornsdale, Pennsylvania, decided that Thornsdale needed an annual pageant. The theme would be Game of Thorns. So what'd they need first of all? A dashing dwarf, like on the TV show and like old Tipper. That would be Thornsdale's own Tipper Niff. Unfortunately, Tipper Giff was shot and killed 2 weeks ago by a local man who many have described with the expression jealous husband. In nearby Pittsburgh, Mayor Asbury found professional actors who happened to be dwarfs but they demanded payment far exceeding the Game of Thrones budget. So, Mayor Asbury may do. Although he stands 5'10" himself and is kind of ordinary looking, as he puts it, the mayor himself played the dashing dwarf role with a sign on his back that said, "Handsome Devil, barely 4 feet tall." Local reviews were mixed.
Your next story of making do with less comes from Paula Poundstone.
It's not new news that Downey, California is suffering a severe water shortage. Therefore, you may have guessed that Downey, California doesn't have the money to fill the municipal pool. However, you might not have guessed in a million years that the Downey swim team is having their best year ever. Although their pool is dry, most of the other teams in their league, Whitney, Anaheim, Buena Park, still have water, so their away meets are issue-free. The Downey team practices are unusual and may be the secret to their success. "Our workouts require lots of imagination," says coach Ellen Buffington. "The freestylers can easily simulate their stroke while standing up. It's simple enough to windmill the arms, and the flutter kick is close enough to a small running step. The quantity of arm strokes is combined with the time to determine a swimmer's overall score. The away meets have been a problem for the team, but they dominate their home meets." "It's stupid," says opponent Anaheim swim star Andrea Orabona. "Of course they win their home meets. No other team does the backstroke by running backwards." "And someone is going to get hurt doing the Downey breaststroke."
A swim team in Downey, California, having to make do without water and finding a way to dominate, at least at home. Your last story of limited means comes from Charlie Pierce.
Members of the Dutch military currently can praise the Lord all they want, but that's all they can do because there's no ammunition to pass. The army in the Netherlands is suffering from a severe shortage of small caliber ammunition, so much so that on the various firing ranges and during training exercises, the soldiers have been reduced to shouting, "Bang! Bang!" in lieu of actually firing their weapons. Jean Deby, the president of the Dutch Union for Civil and Military, said that even if you have no bullets, you still have to train with your weapon. This is obviously disastrous for the morale of the military. So far, there are no contingency plans in place in case of other ammunition shortages. Dutch bomber pilots are not preparing to shout, and so far, the famous NATO 88th Armored Onomatopoeia Regiment has not been deployed.
All right. One of these stories is a true story about scraping by that we saw in the week's news. Was it? From Roy Blunt Jr., how in the town of Thornsdale, for their Game of Thorns celebration, the perfectly tall mayor had to pretend to be a dwarf by putting a sign on his back. From Paula, how a swim team in California has learned to swim without water in their pool. Or from Charlie Pierce, how the Dutch army has to walk around saying, "Bang, bang," because they have no ammunition.
First, they're all equally ridiculous. I'll say the first.
Okay, well, your choice is Roy's story. Well, to bring you the correct answer, we talked to a reporter familiar with the real story.
This is the state of the military in Europe. God help us if they run out of tanks and Humvees, or we'll find them running around yelling vroom vroom.
That was David Martosko. He is the U.S. politics editor at DailyMail.com, talking about the poor Dutch soldiers. So as you figured out, you eventually landed on Roy's story, which was charming but untrue. He earns a point. So thank you so much for playing our game, and it was lovely to talk to you.
Thank you. Same here.
Bye-bye. And now the game where we reward a lifetime of achievement with 5 minutes of confusion. Dwight Yoakam was born with a big disadvantage for a future country star. Namely, he was raised in Ohio. He overcame that handicap to become one of the biggest country stars in the last 30 years with multiple platinum albums and number one songs. Dwight Yoakam, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. How fun to talk to you.
Well, it's good to be here, Peter. It's nice to talk to you. You know, I never looked at it as a handicap. You know, Bobby Bear came out of Southern Ohio. A lot of great singers came out of that Ohio Valley region. It's just, 90 miles from the river there in Kentucky, where I was born, where, you know, a lot of us were taillight babies back and forth on the weekend. So,
taillight babies?
Part of that region's history.
What is a taillight baby?
Well, kids, you know, there were people that moved to Ohio, moved to Detroit, you know, Michigan, and it seemed like on Route 23 that went through Columbus, Ohio, and on down to the river Ashland in eastern Kentucky and then Huntington, West Virginia. There was a steady stream on any given Friday evening of people going, quote, home. My mother used to say, we're going to go home this weekend, though we had lived and, you know, moved away from Kentucky. So I used to call other kids, you know, kids that would make that trip a lot, taillight babies. You kind of sit in the back, you know, looking at taillights.
Has it ever occurred to you that would make a fantastic country song?
Yeah.
It would be. Now, we understand that you were playing music and very interested in music from a very young age, right?
Yeah, well, from memory, there was a guitar around there. Shots of me when I was probably about 18 months old, dragging an old F. Hole K guitar around with my granny, Earlene Tibbs, holding it up for me. I actually eventually tripped and fell over it and broke it. And
That's a musical background.
And were you playing it when you were dragging it around, or was it just like a toy?
Well, probably about what I'm doing now with it. So,
Were you writing sad songs about being a toddler? Like, no, the night is long and my pants are full, that sort of thing.
It's kind of like My Bucket's Got a Hole in It by Hank Williams, you know. Would apply to a toddler.
Right.
No, but the first thing I ever wrote when I was 8 years old.
Really? You wrote a song when you were 8 years old? What was it?
Well, Vietnam had begun in full swing in the living room every night on the news, and I wrote a song called How Far Is Heaven about Vietnam.
Mm. Really?
Could you sing it for us?
Yeah, would I sing it for you?
Yes.
No, for anyone? I can do a moment of it.
Go ahead.
My daddy got killed over in Vietnam, and here's just a few things I don't understand. How far is heaven? When can I go? I miss my daddy. Oh, I miss him so. Anyway, so it's a trial.
You were eight years old?
If my 8-year-old son sang that song, he'd written it himself, I would be torn between getting him an agent and a therapist. That is.
I was going to say, you'd seek help.
Yes, that's amazing that you did that.
My dad was a little confused because he wasn't sure what it was, because he was no longer in the Army.
Encouraging
his reenlistment?
I didn't think of that. Here you are, I'm thinking of your father, you're sitting there, your son, amazing prodigy, is singing a song he wrote, and in it, you die. That's.
Exactly. It probably affected our relationship the rest of our lives.
I can imagine. Now, I heard that you went off to Nashville as a young man, and you were not well received there. How can that possibly be true?
Well, they didn't know I was there.
Oh, I see.
I mean, I still think they probably wouldn't have cared, even if they'd known.
Did you find yourself having to do the classic thing that country singer-songwriters do, which is like have hard times so you could sing about them?
No.
You also, and I don't know much about country music, but I know a little bit about hats, and you sport a cowboy hat like nobody I've ever seen.
Hat's done all the work. Right?
Yeah.
I just like that block when I went in, and like, I think it, the first hat, that original hat, the hat, was blocked by Manuel Cuevas, and I think I got that from him in 1979. Great. He was out on Lancashire Boulevard, North Hollywood, and I told him, I said, I want the brim kind of this way and that way. And it was very much kind of a late 60s, early 70s. It was called Bull Riders.
I have to interrupt, because not only do you know, like, the legacy of the music you play, you know the history of your hat just as well.
Of who blocks good hats. You know what? You're a wonderful musician, but you're throwing away a career as a historian.
Dwight Yoakam, it is a pleasure to talk to you, but we have asked you here today to play a game that this time we're calling...
You're the happiest man in the world.
You genuinely might be, but as a country singer and songwriter, we also know you have shared your tales of woe and heartbreak. So we're going to ask you three questions about one Matthieu Ricard. He is a French-born Buddhist monk who is reputed to be the happiest man in the world as measured by science.
Huh.
Answer two questions about Mr. Ricard correctly. You will win our prize. Carl Castle's voice for one of our listeners. Bill, who is Dwight Yoakam playing for?
Nicole Corson of Potomac Falls, Virginia.
So you ready to do this?
Sure.
Okay. Here's your first question. Ricard grew up the son of a wealthy, famous couple in France, but he left that life to pursue enlightenment in the Himalayas. Why? A, he accidentally set fire to his parents' piano and had to flee. B, all the famous, successful people his parents hung out with were miserable. Or C, he heard that the best pot in the world grew in the mountains of Nepal.
I'm going to suggest B.
You're going to suggest B, you say with some confidence. And you are right.
Well.
His parents were very well known in artistic circles. So he grew up hanging around with people like the poet André Breton, the filmmaker Louis Buñuel, and he decided
It seemed to me arrogant enough and self-absorbed enough in answers.
So. You're right. It was pretty good. But he thought all these people, they're miserable despite their success. So clearly there's another way. Mm. Is that true in your experience that you meet a lot of famous, successful people?
No.
Oh. Next question. He was being interviewed by Esquire magazine recently, and Ricard said that people might envy his life of sitting around meditating in the mountains, but it's not all easy. In fact, he complained about what? A, all the emails that he gets from LinkedIn. B, have you ever tried to get a decent croissant in Nepal? Or C, he said he hasn't had a day of vacation.
B.
You're going to go for B. He can't get a decent croissant there.
Yeah.
No, I'm afraid it was C. He complained about not getting a vacation. He said, quote, I took 70
flights. What a socialist.
I know. He says, I took 70 flights from 15 July to 6 November. I've not had one day off, he complained. Now, you can still win it all with this question. While Ricard lives...
What a crybaby.
No, yeah, I know.
He doesn't sound all that happy to me.
No.
Toughen up, you damn Buddhist. Here's the...
Exactly.
No, I will say, before I ask you the question, that he has this reputation. In fact, if you type happiest man in the world into Google, he pops up. Mm-hmm. Because they've given him brain scans, and the pleasure, the happiness part of his brain lights up more than anybody else ever recorded. So
that could just be a glitch.
It could be. So Ricard, he does live a simple life of a Buddhist monk, but he has made one concession to modern times. What? A, his robes are made of Under Armour performance wicking fabric because, quote, sitting still all day makes you sweat more than you'd think. B, he has a cell phone, although the ringtone is a loud Buddhist chant. Or C, every year he goes to the Upper East Side of New York City to have his head waxed in a salon because he says shaving his head every day takes away valuable meditation time.
Is there music playing now?
No. It's just an uncomfortable silence.
Kind of a drag. I'm going to go with B.
You're going to go with B? He has a cell phone? Of course he has a cell phone. It's 2015.
Yeah. There you go.
And we know this because when he was being interviewed by Esquire magazine, it went off. So that's how we know.
There you go. But it was with a wonderful Buddhist chant.
Exactly. Bill, how did Dwight Yoakam do in our quiz?
Well, Dwight Yoakam got 2 out of 3, and that makes him a winner.
Thank you, Dwight. Congratulations. That was well done.
Yeah, well, as Bobby Bear, that other country singer from Ohio, said, I'm a winner.
You are. Dwight Yoakam is a multiple Grammy Award-winning artist. You can currently catch him on tour in support of his most recent album, Secondhand Heart. I listen to it all day. It is fantastic. Dwight Yoakam, thank you so much.
Thanks, Dwight.
For joining us on Wait, Don't Tell Me. What a joy.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, sir. Coming up, some shocking news about fitness trackers in our listener Limerick Challenge game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to join us on the air. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is supported by Trunk Club, a clothing service that matches guys with personal stylists who do all the work to find them the clothes they need. Here's Tasneem from Trunk Club talking about her role as a stylist.
I love working as a Trunk Club stylist because I actually get to know my clients and have a real personal relationship with each of them. Anytime I'm putting together a trunk for one of my guys, each piece of clothing I choose is unique to him and his style and whatever is going on in his life.
Trunk Club is not a subscription service, and you only pay for the clothes you keep. Visit trunkclub.com/weight to get started.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We are playing this week with Charlie Pierce, Paula Poundstone, and Roy Blunt Jr. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. And just a minute. Bill's got rhyme coming out of his eyes, out of his wherever. In our listener limerick challenge, if you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Paula, Scott Walker is running for president, but he is facing his first scandal. Observers on the campaign trail are accusing him of lying about what?
I have no idea. Union busting. I don't know.
I'll give you a hint. He says, no. This Rogaine in my bag? No, it's for my dog.
Oh, that he's going bald?
Yes. He is lying about the fact that he's going bald. Sensitive issue with me. Whenever Scott Walker leaned forward, and he didn't have to lean forward much during the debate, everybody noticed he has this, behind his nice, apparently good-looking hair from the front, he has this giant bald spot on the top of his head. It looked like a fish-belly white yarmulke. But he says it's not a bald spot. He says, this is what he says, his hair stopped growing up there after he banged his head on a door while making repairs to his house. Yes. Oh. It was a male pattern baldness-shaped door. Right. And he chose the manliest lie possible. Mm-hmm. My hair's not receding. I'm part bald eagle.
There's not a lot of science in what he said then.
No.
No. Why, yes, Dr. Poundstone. I agree.
Well, because if you could stop hair growth, wouldn't men just bonk themselves in the chin every morning?
It's a hell of a lot cheaper to bang your head on a door than pay $40 for a haircut.
It's like, I know I would.
Honey, I have to shave. Have you seen my hammer?
You missed a spot, hon. Whap!
Roy.
Yeah.
If you've ever been a new parent,
yeah.
They always talk about how having a child is the best thing to ever happen to him. Well, according to a new study, most likely those people are what?
Lying through their...
Yes, thank you. A new study in a reputable Journal of Demographics says that having a child is the worst thing that can happen to you. Worse than divorce, worse than getting fired. So some German scientists were trying to investigate why there's a low birth rate there. And so what they did was they polled some people who did not have children, and then they waited a few years, and they polled them again. Many of them had children. And that they found that the people who had children reported much more misery than anybody else.
Wow.
According to their, quote, happiness scale, having a kid was worse than being divorced or even having your spouse die.
Oh.
I guess that makes sense because, sure, both of those are tragedies, but at least it means you won't have a kid.
Mm-hmm. Well, you might, just to get the other side of the story, ask people what it's like to have parents.
That's true.
It's the worst. It's the worst.
A friend of mine bought me for my birthday a Vitamix, the smoothie things.
Yeah.
And, I opened up the box and it had the plastic bag with the warranty and the instructions and all that in there. And right up top on the plastic bag of the first thing you see is this brochure that says, "Welcome to the Vitamix family." And I thought, well, that's not what I was hoping for. Apparently I have to drive little Cindy Vitamix to soccer every Tuesday now.
You just wanted a smoothie. You didn't want to be adopted.
Exactly. I had no
need
for a family.
You might be in Great Uncle Vitamix's will.
That's true.
Well, no, more likely I'll have to take Great Uncle Vitamix to his medical appointment.
Coming up, it's lightning fill in the blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you would like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. You can always click the Contact Us link on our website. That's waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows right here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago. And you can check out our sister podcast, How to Do Everything. This week, Mike and Ian take a break from their normal programming and do not make me eat anything gross. Unless they're short of material, in which case they probably will. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. This is Emily calling from New York, New York.
Hey, how are things in New York, New York? Are they good, good?
They are muggy.
Oh, yeah. Summer in the city. Aren't you smart enough to get out?
Unfortunately not.
Really? I thought all you people had your country homes.
Oh, I'm sorry about that, but we lent it out to the Astors.
Did you now? Well, welcome to our show, Emily. You, of course, are going to do the Listener Limerick Challenge. That means Bill Curtis, his favorite part of the show, is going to perform for you three news-related limericks. He is not going to finish them. That's up to you. Do that two times out of three. You'll win our prize. Ready to go?
Yes.
All right. Here's your first limerick.
These freeze-dried meals often upset us. So let's see what some space soil will get us. In orbit, we're pallid. So let's have some salad. We've grown our own red romaine.
Lettuce.
Yes! Good news, astronauts! NASA has some new food for the space station. Bad news, it is salad. The first crops from a special space greenhouse were ready to eat this week. Some red lettuce, grown in space, first time ever. You'd think that with all that advanced technology, though, NASA could develop a space froyo machine. Or maybe, my favorite, an omelet station.
Yeah, it's all funny till that lettuce comes back to Earth and starts eating things.
You think so?
Absolutely. It's the revenge of the salad.
Here is your next limerick.
Sobriety's so rarely sung over. My mouth's a dump I run my tongue over. But my liver's not shrunk, 'cause I never get drunk. I wear makeup to help me look.
Hungover?
Yes.
Hungover it is.
According to fashionistas and that drunk lady at the end of the bar, hangover chic is the hot look this fall. Did you know this? Women are using makeup to make their eyes look puffy, their noses look red, and instead of going to the gym, they start their day with a brisk walk of shame.
Huh. That's supposed to be attractive now?
Yeah, apparently that's the thing.
Jeez, I'm so out of time.
Yeah. Here is your last limerick.
I'm really not much of a jock, but I'll strap on this band as I walk. If I have a slow lap, I get hit with a zap. My fitness band gives me a...
shock.
Yes!
Three out of three.
Wow.
Anyone looking for a little extra motivation to get in shape? Throw away your personal trainer and buy a Pavlok. It's like a Fitbit that hates you. This is all true. This Pavlok thing monitors your daily exercise habits and punishes you for skipping or taking shortcuts. First thing, you don't wake up in the morning, go to the gym, it buzzes, wakes you up, won't turn off. Let's say you skip your workout. Pavlok shocks you. But this is all true. Let's say you get used to it. You're like, oh, all right, fine, I can deal with the shock. Ah, it's over, okay. It will shame you. It can post to your Facebook page. And say, Chad skipped his workout today.
Wow.
And people are going to buy this thing.
Yeah. This is a masochist's delight.
Yes. Why? I mean, I don't know which is easier, buying this thing or just getting married.
Ooh.
Sorry. Ooh. Sorry.
I know which is cheaper.
Yeah. Bill, how did Emily do?
Emily was perfect from New York City. Thank you, Emily.
Well done, Emily. Congratulations.
You know.
Emily, thank you so much for playing.
Thank you.
Thank you, Emily. Great to talk to you. Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Bill, can you give us the scores?
Roy and Charlie each have 3. Paula has 2.
All right. Paula, you are in 3rd place. You're up first. The clock will start when you begin. Your first question, fill in the blank. This week, rescue workers in Tianjin, China, continued to search for survivors following a series of blanks. explosions. The devastated parts of the city, that's right. After marathon talks on Tuesday, leaders finally reached a €1 billion bailout deal for blank.
Greece.
Right. On Monday, retail giant Target announced it was no longer separating its toy aisle by blank.
Gender?
Right. The favorite to win the BBC's annual baking competition this week was eliminated from the competition after she blanked.
Went into a diabetic coma.
Forgot to turn on the oven. Geno Smith, the starting quarterback for the New York Jets, is expected to miss at least 6 games after he was blanked in the locker room.
Punched.
In the jaw by his teammate. Broke it. This week, scientists were able to confirm that the blank only has a few trillion years left in it.
Earth?
No, the entire universe. Ooh. In response to claims that their claw machine games were rigged, a mall in China began blanking.
Their claw machines were rigged. They began making it give toys to everyone who plays.
No, they began strapping kids to a giant claw and letting them grab the toys themselves.
Oh, what a great thing!
Isn't that the most awesome thing?
Yeah, yeah. I would go back to that. If I was a kid, I would go to that mall every day.
Mm-hmm. So the mall, people were saying, oh, these toy claw machines, they don't work. Sichuan Mall said, fine. They set up a huge pen filled with stuffed animals. They rolled in a crane. They strapped kids into a harness, lowered them in, let them grab the toys. Pictures are available online. Uh-huh. They are adorable. Bill, how did Paula do in our quiz?
She got 4 right for 8 more points. She now has a total of 10, and she's in the lead.
Yay.
All right. We have flipped a coin, and Roy has elected to go next, fill in the blank. After violent collisions between police and protesters, the city of blank declared a state of emergency on Tuesday.
Ferguson.
Right, Missouri. On Wednesday, former President blank announced that he had cancer.
Jimmy Carter, sorry to say.
For the first time since the 2011 Fukushima meltdown, blank activated one of its nuclear power plants.
Japan.
Right. Prosecutors in Sweden announced Thursday they were dropping the long-held charges against WikiLeaks founder blank.
Oh, Assange.
Right. A British man who drove his car into a lake, called police, and then blanked.
Sank down in a big bubble.
No, he sat back and calmly smoked his pipe.
Oh, that's right.
They shall always be in England. On Tuesday, for the first time in baseball history, all 15 blank teams won their games.
Home teams.
Yes, in a mostly negative review for a newly unearthed book by Ayn Rand, the New York Times did praise the novel for being blank.
Short.
Yes. A fitness club in the UK came under fire this week for having its members do push-ups on top of blank.
Oh, members God, doing push-ups on top of each other.
No.
Can I, Peter?
You may, Charlie.
On top of graves.
Yes, that's right.
Jesus.
The Daily Fitness Gym in South London released a video this week featuring one of their classes finishing up their training session by jogging out to a nearby graveyard to do some push-ups on the tombstones. Well, the gym employee kept them motivated by shouting, keep your energy up and look alive. Oh, sorry. The gym has since apologized, saying, and this is true, if anyone feels we have disrespected the dead, we would like to apologize to the disrespected and to offer them a free membership to the best gym in the world.
There you go.
Bill, how did Roy do in our quiz?
Roy got 6 right, 12 more points. He's got 15 in the lead.
All right. How many, then, does Mr. Charles P. Pierce need to win?
6 to tie, 7 to win.
All right. This is for the game. Charlie, fill in the blank. On Tuesday and Wednesday, officials in blank shocked national markets by devaluing their country's national currency.
China.
Yes. Tribal leaders in the Navajo Nation declared Wednesday that they were suing the EPA for contaminating a blank in Colorado.
A river.
Yes. This week, a judge in Mississippi denied bail for a couple accused of trying to join blank.
ISIS.
Right. On Monday, Hillary Clinton proposed a $350 billion affordable blank plan.
College tuition thing.
Yes, indeed. A semi-driver who overturned his truck and spilled cans of beer all over an interstate in Florida blamed the accident on blank.
Being drunk.
No, his adorable puppy that he could not stop staring at.
Oh.
Let that be a warning to you dog owners. On Thursday, Fidel Castro celebrated his 89th birthday by insisting that blank owed Cuba millions of dollars.
The United States.
Yes. On Sunday, Pro Football Hall of Famer and Monday Night Football commentator blank passed away at the age of 84.
Frank Gifford.
Yes. The California State Fair announced this week it would be selling blank for people looking for healthier food options.
Deep fried kale.
So close. Deep fried Slim Fast bar.
Damn!
After years of offering fairgoers foods like deep fried bacon wrapped pickles and the Krispy Kreme donut triple decker cheeseburger, California's state fair announced this week they were finally offering something for health conscious Californians. A slim, fast bar dipped in pancake batter, deep fried, and then drowned in chocolate syrup. Bill, did Charlie do well enough to win?
Listen, we have a tie. Oh. Charlie and Roy both have 50.
Paul, I thought you had it. You did so well.
So there's really only one loser in today's game. Is that correct?
I like to think we're all winners in a way.
It's kind of a turnoff to the Donald.
Yeah. Now, this week, Hillary Clinton finally agreed to hand over her email server to the Justice Department. So we're going to ask our panelists to predict what they will find on it. A quick shout-out to one of our sponsors, Casper, an adorable ghost of a young boy who No, I'm corrected. It is, in fact, an online retailer for mattresses. Casper mattresses are American-made and obsessively engineered for comfort. They use two technologies, latex foam and memory foam, to give you just the right amount of sink and bounce. And they have a risk-free trial. You can try out your Casper mattress for 100 days with free delivery and returns. It's outrageous comfort at a polite price. So go to casper.com/waitwait to check out their options. And they have a special offer for you listeners of this podcast. Use that promo code WAITWAIT. That's WAITWAIT to redeem $50 towards a Casper mattress for you. Terms and conditions apply, but don't they always? Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Takeout Japanese for Lunch, Berman Benevolent Overlord. Philip Gotica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Mr. Don Hall. His assistant as a house manager is Tyler Green. And this week, we say goodbye to our beloved intern, Jesse Batend. We'll miss his laugh, his tireless work, his tireless dreadlocks. I, for one, am glad that I never gazed at the dreadlocks for fear I would be turned to stone. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Miles Dernboss. Technical directions from Lorna White. Special thanks this week to Mr. Gary Yeck, our old friend. Our CFO is Anne Nien. Our production coordinator is Robert Newhouse. Our senior producer is Mr. Ian Chillog. And the executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mike Why Did I Ever Leave Decorah Danforth. Now, panel, what will they find in Hillary's email server? Roy Blunt Jr.
Monica, honey, I know he's still dreamy, but I got over him and so can you.
Paula Poundstone.
This thread will be in Hillary Clinton's emails. Dear Donald, I don't want to go to your wedding. Does that make me a loser? Yes, I'll be there.
And Charlie Pierce.
53 fundraising emails from the widows of Nigerian princes and reams of really hot shirtless Putin porn.
Well, if they find any of that, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Bill Curtis. Thanks also to Roy Blunt Jr., Paula Poundstone, Mr. Charlie Pierce. Thanks to all of you for listening. You're fabulous. I'm Peter Sagal. And we will see you all next week. This is NPR.